I'm very happy now to welcome Steven Hyler. His film is called Sonobai, Another Way of Seeing, and it screens on Thursday, December 3rd at 1:45 at the De Vargas 2. It's part of the Santa Fe Film Festival. It's a short feature that is screening with a longer documentary called 2501. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
So this is a very interesting film about a woman named Sonobai who was an amazing and for many years completely isolated and unknown artist. Tell us her story.
Yes, it's really quite remarkable. She lived in absolute isolation for 15 years. She was allowed to see or be seen by no one during 15 years after her marriage to a man, a widower, considerably her elder. She saw only their infant son and him, was kept in her home, and began to sculpt in a style of art that had no precedent in India. It came completely from within her own imagination.
Why was she locked up by her husband? What is the story there? Do you know?
I interviewed her over a period of years about that. She would never say. It's probable that he was psychotic. It was not a cultural norm in that area. She was the only woman that was locked away like that in the entire large region. Women in that area are not kept behind the veil, are not secluded from men in any way, are able to talk and converse with men throughout their lives.
And it's also, as you illustrate beautifully in the film, such a communal society. You're never alone. And so she's even more of an exception for that reason.
Yes, sir. And, you know, if you or I were kept in isolation like that, we might be creative. But if I were, I might choose to express myself rather darkly to reflect my upsettedness with the circumstances in which I am kept imprisoned, virtually. But Sonobai did not choose to do that. She created a style of art that expresses whimsy, color, light, beauty, humor. And it's so uplifting to walk inside this home that was, in any other ways, would have been a cell.
So tell us what the art was like that she made.
Well, she sculpted on her wall. She began to create toys out of clay for her infant son. Loved the sculpting process. She had no instruction whatsoever. She was not raised in a creative family. But she loved the sculpting process and began to apply them to her walls in a style that was very light. As I said, it was colorful, it was whimsical, it were bas-reliefs. It's so very different from other traditional Indian art. India is a culture which is embedded with traditions that are passed down for generations and sometimes for thousands of years. But this is a form of art that is completely unique to this one woman.
Now, as you discuss in the film, and this is one of your areas of expertise, women's art in India is an incredibly developed set of art forms, but they're often ephemeral forms, and they're rarely respected or represented in any way.
Well, you know, I've been doing this work in India for 38 years. I'm a cultural anthropologist. And my first 20 years in India, I would say that it was completely ignored, the creativity of women. It was just felt to be not worthy of acknowledgement. In the last 15 years or so, there has been more recognition of it. There are different expressions of creativity in every region of India. It usually is applied to the walls of a home or to the ground in front of the front door. I've done books about this. I actually am, my work in a larger sense is documenting women's identity in India, and I use that, I use art as a means for conveying aspects of Indian womanhood. I've actually lectured frequently about this in Santa Fe to very good response, largely through the Museum of International Folk Art that has sponsored me to come there many times.
Say a little more about that, women's identity as it's represented through this kind of ephemeral art. And you show images in the film about, for example, beautiful, it's almost like that Tibetan mandala sand painting in a way. They make these beautiful things and then a bicycle rides over them or a car and they're gone.
Right, yes. Women in South India, that's in the far south of India, in Tamil Nadu, the state near Chennai, near Madras, what was called Madras, around that area, the women create different sacred designs in front of their front doors every single day of the year. They pride themselves in never repeating a design. And there are that is done by more than a million households every day of the year and has been done as far back in history as is any knowledge. So the diversity, the artistic diversity is inconceivable. It's just, and most of it is unrecorded. It's just fascinating. The other thing, Mary Charlotte, the reason that I do this work about women's identity in India is that I find that people in the West really deeply misunderstand the women of India. They tend to view them as victims, while as the women themselves wish to be known for their strengths, for the ways in which they combat the inequalities that they are subjected to. There are inequalities. There are terrible disparages in their lives, but they do not consider themselves victims. They find ways to create balance in their lives. They find ways to fight against the oppression, and creativity is one of those means.
We're talking to Stephen Heiler about his film Sonabai, Another Way of Seeing. So how was Sonabai discovered?
Well, she lived in that isolation for the first 15 years of her marriage, and then for some undisclosed reason, her husband allowed her out. Perhaps she had lost what he considered her beauty. Who knows? You know, she was an older woman by that point. But she still lived in relative anonymity until a group of scouts for a folk art museum in the city of Bhopal were going through her region and were told about her by the other villagers, and they came to see it, and really her life was never the same again. She was given within 6 months the highest award that India can give to any human being, the President's Award. And within a short while after that, she and her son were packed off on a plane to San Diego, California, to partake in an exhibition in a museum of Indian terracotta. And against her will, she didn't want to go. She was a very shy woman. But her life was never her own after that moment, after that time of that recognition by the greater Indian art world.
Did she ever take to it?
Well, she was grateful that she got that recognition, not for herself, but because it brought her an income that allowed her to pay for the dowries for her granddaughters, because her son grew up and had four daughters of his own. And because her travel brought in income, the demand for her sculptures brought in income, then she could provide for them, and that in a traditional Indian society is extremely important.
What was her influence after she became known? How did she influence other artists?
Well, that's true. The government, a recognition of Sonabai, sponsored or encouraged other artists in her region to begin to copy her unique style. And she encouraged them as well. And so there are many artists in that region that now sculpt in a style that is reminiscent of Sonabai, this sort of joyous, colorful bas-reliefs and sculpted lattice work that was her invention, is now thought to be an entire style of art from that region of India, although it began with her. So she really has had a remarkable impact, not only upon the style of art of her region, but upon the economy, because now the people in this very remote and very previously poor region are now getting an income through their artistic endeavors.
I have to say, some of her work reminds me of Mexican folk art.
It does, yeah. I think that there's a aspect of a folk medium globally that in some ways is somewhat similar. And when you work with clay and you work with color, and she loved bright colors, there is an aspect that would be similar to terracottas, clay sculptures made in Mexico. Yes, very much so. There is a universal aspect, and that's one of the things that I try to talk about in the film is that yes, she lives in a remote part of India, but her story has a national, international relevance for really challenging us to think again about the limitations of our own lives, that if I was in a place like that, could I choose to express myself creatively? Can, you know, now that we're faced with so many problems in our world that seem insurmountable, are they insurmountable? Could we not find creative answers to the problems that beset us in the same way that Sonabai did for herself?
Very interesting. Now, her work is in an exhibition that is in San Diego, so if anybody happens to be down there, tell us a little bit about that show.
Yes, it's a show that has the same title as the film. It's called Sonabai, Another Way of Seeing, and it's at the Mingay International Museum, which is in Balboa Park in San Diego, right next to the San Diego Museum of Art, and the show will be there until next September. It's really a very large show. It has 59 of her sculptures, a lot of photographs and films, about her that show her work and show it in context. And there's also a book that contains the same film in the back of it that will be for sale at the Museum of International Folk Art there in Santa Fe.
So. Yeah, I was going to say, it's a beautifully produced book that accompanies the exhibition in San Diego, but it's also a standalone book full of incredible pictures of her work. And as you said, people can pick that up here in Santa Fe, especially if they go see the film and are interested in following further into Sonabai's work.
Right. I'll have some of the books with me there at the film and some copies of the film independently if people are interested.
Stephen Heiler is a filmmaker and a cultural anthropologist. His film is called Sonabai, Another Way of Seeing. And once again, it screens on Thursday, the 3rd of December at 1:45 at the De Vargas 2, part of the Santa Fe Film Festival. Thank you so much for being with us here on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. It'll be good to be there.